If the voice goes, it'll take over?
Special, yeah. Special for you, Masmood. I moved up.
Okay. It's already it's an added element to the pot. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So let's begin. We don't have so much time, but let's talk about one aspect of the importance of the day and the importance of Eretz Yisrael. So let me begin with the following point, and then we'll zero in on one particular issue, which will highlight one aspect of it. So the Gemara says in Masachet Brachos, on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, the Gemara there talks about the direction that is appropriate when in the context of Tefillah, right? How should one be facing? So the Gemara there says, the Braisa says, Atan Rabbanan, Suma Mishen Yachal Lechavinus Aruchos, that if a person is blind, or he has a sense of direction issue, right, like some of us have, Yechavin Libo Keneged Aviv Sheva Shemayim, right? So, having the right Kavana, if he's Mechavin Keneged Aviv Sheva Shemayim, that really solves some of the problems. Shenemar, Yispallu El Hashem. That's standalone. Then comes the part that we're more interested in. Hayomid b'chutz laretz yichavin eslibo k'neged Eretz Yisrael. The person in chutz laretz, he should direct his attention and his kavana to Eretz Yisrael. Shneamar yispalo elecha derech artzam. Hayomid b'Eretz Yisrael yichavin eslibo k'neged Yerushalayim. If he's standing in Eretz Yisrael already, wherever he is, then he should direct his attention in the direction, his kavanah, the direction of Yerushalayim, Shneamar, Pasuk in Melachim, Tispalua Hashem Derech Ha'ir Asher Bacharta, Hayomed Yerushalayim, Yechavin Eslibo Keneged Beit HaMikdash. And if he's in Yerushalayim, then he should be turning in the direction of the Mikdash. Shneamar, another Pasuk in this one, Divrei Yamim, Tispalu El Habayis Hazeh. Hayomed Beit HaMikdash, Yechavin Eslibo Keneged Beis Kodshei Kadashim, Vispalo Lamokom Hazeh. Hayomid Beis Kodshei Kadashim, Mechavin Eslibo Keneged Beis HaKapores, Hayomid Akari Beis HaKapores, Yiratzmu Kilo Lefnei HaKapores, etc. Then the Gemara sums up, Nimtza, Omid B'Mizrach, Machzir Panav L'Marav, B'Marav, Machzir Panav L'Mizrach, B'Dorom, Machzir Panav L'Tzafon, B'Tzafon, Machzir Panav L'Dorom, Nimtzu Kol Yisrael Mechavin and Eslibam, Lamokom Echad. And then the Gemara quotes a pasuk for that as well. So it's a very interesting Gemara. Mostly it's a Hilchos Brachos, Hilchos Tefillah idea. Obviously we should all have the proper kavana in the Tefillah. We should be mechaving in the direction of Avinu Shebashamayim. And apparently there's some benefit, Nimsu Kol Yisrael mechaven asleep on the Makom Echad, that all of Klal Yisrael is davening in the same direction. In addition to the, I guess, Bein Adam LaMakom part of it, the Tefillah part of it, apparently the Tefillah part of it is enhanced by the Bein Adam LaChavero part, or the unity of Klal Yisrael part of it, which is an interesting idea. And that's why the Gemara sums up. If you're Tzafon, you go this way. If you're, Dorom, you go the other way. There's a lot in this Gemara on the surface which seems to be superfluous. Number one, this whole summary, that's kind of obvious. But more to the point, and this is what I want to just use as an entry point to our discussion today, is that the whole description seems to be superfluous, because you don't have to be a PhD in geography, I guess, to understand that all you really need to tell people is that wherever you are in the world, right, you should be facing that ultimate goal of, the Kodesh HaKadoshim or the Kapores, etc., and then it'll all be fine, right? If you're in Chutz Laretz, you'll be facing in the right direction, and if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you'll be facing the right direction, and so on. So I just think it's an interesting Gemara, and it's based on Psukim as well. Language of the Gemara is always important, but especially in our Psukim, establishing that each Shlav here has a separate Shlav, it sounds like when you're in Chutz Laretz, the important thing is to be facing Eretz Yisrael. And when you're in Eretz Yisrael, the important thing is to be facing Yerushalayim. And when you're in Yerushalayim, the important thing is to be facing the Beis HaMikdash. And our Psukim identifying these directions. And then the nimitz on the end takes on an added coloration as well. So what is this Gemara about? Why is this necessary? Obviously, if the interest was merely pragmatic to make sure that we're all, you know, in the right direction, certainly if there was one mechayev, we'll call it that way, and it was all these issues were standing in a quantitative hierarchy of intensity of kedusha, then it would be sufficient to say that wherever you are, you should be turning in the direction of the Kodesh HaKadosh, and so on. It sounds like what the Gemara is saying is that there are different mechayevim. That when it comes to Kedushas HaMakom, that the concentric circles aren't just in a quantitative hierarchy, but that there are different themes and motifs, and it's important to identify them and to relate to them. Moreover, another wrinkle in this, maybe another way of saying it, or maybe a different way, or something slightly different, and that is that you first have to, it's not only the difference in the Mechayvim, but you first have to address Eretz Yisrael before you can really benefit from, you know, the kivun of Kedushas Yerushalayim, and the same thing from Yerushalayim to the Beis HaMikdash. I don't know whether we have to go so far, but either as a priority or maybe in terms of even the status of the Kedusha itself, which is a greater ambition to say, like you, when you're in Chutz Laaretz, the Mechayev exclusively, in other words, may be Eretz Yisrael, not just additionally. That's something to weigh in on. But if this is the case, so then it, as I say, motivates us, right, to think about what these concentric circles of Kedusha are really all about. And hopefully, by examining the various halachos, you know, we might get a better idea, and that would contribute to our, you know, perspective and appreciation of what these kedushos are, both, you know, conceptually and in our Avodas Hashem, in a, you know, kind of purist realm, but also in our appreciation. This is the 50th year since the reunification of Yerushalayim, the Six Day War, a remarkable moment in Jewish history, one of which we give Shavuot Hodah. Today, of course, is a celebration of Yom HaTzma'ut, or the day after, but the way that it's celebrated in Eretz Yisrael, it's for the miracle of 1948. In a certain sense, you know, the relationship between Kedushas Eretz Yisrael and Kedushas Yerushalayim and Kedushas HaMikdash, and, you know, whether or not they only overlap, you know, and represent, you know, more and more intense a Kedusha, or whether or not they represent also, albeit overlapping, but albeit different themes, and maybe the need to give proper focus to each one. Maybe even the idea that until you appreciate one, you're not ready yet to turn to the other, is something which is not only true in the abstract world of the halacha, although that would certainly be sufficient, and that's the most important. But even when we assess, you know, 1948 and 1967, 1948 just, you know, chronologically comes before 1967, clearly. But also, in terms of the importance of the miracle, you know, there's lots of discussion, you know, about, it's an interesting historical phenomenon, you know, how Yom HaTzma'ut fared and how Yom Yerushalayim fared. It's not for now, but it's an interesting chapter. There are people who, you know, are, you know, who see them merely as, again, concentric circles, and there are others who, you know, have greater or different, you know, passion for one or for the other, in a way that, you know, very much reflects what we're talking about right here. Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, and so on. But either way, the point I want to make is that there seem to be different themes. We need to appreciate them more fully. And when we do that, hopefully we'll also appreciate and experience, you know, the history that, you know, is only recent and for which we have Shevach Bahodah in a different way as well. Just to highlight it a little bit further, this idea of the hierarchy of Kedushos is something which appears in other contexts of halacha as well. One could speak a long time about all this. Famous Mishnah in Masechet Ksuvos, in the very end, Dakuf Yud, Amud Beis, Hakol Malin Eretz Yisrael, Ein Hakol Motziim, Hakol Malin Yerushalayim, Ein Hakol Motziim, Echad Anoshim, Echad Anoshim, when it comes to the question of a spousal disagreement or debate, right, about where to live. So there is, again, a hierarchy. You know, Kutz La'aretz, Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim. There, of course, Makom HaMikdash is not a factor. And it's interesting to look at the Mefarshim to try to figure out whether or not we're dealing, again, with a just straightforward, linear hierarchy with the same exact dinim. You know, Yerushalayim is to Eretz Yisrael, what Eretz Yisrael is to Chutz La'aretz. Or there are differences. Aniye Eretz Yisrael kodmim la'aniye Chutz La'aretz, and aniye Yerushalayim are kodmim la'aniye Eretz Yisrael. And again, it's an interesting question, right? Are these, you know, the same halacha just with a more intense form of kedusha, or not? I mean, there are poskim who discuss the impact of, you know, kedusha sa'aretz or kedusha sa'mikdash being operative in terms of this exact, does it matter whether or not there's kedusha sa'aretz Yisrael for the issue of aniye Eretz Yisrael kodmim? Does it matter whether this is kedusha Yerushalayim or kedusha sa'mikdash to say the same thing about aniye Yerushalayim? Could you be mechalek? Again, we're not going into details right now. Could you be mechalek between these two questions when it comes to that issue? The Chasam Sofer has tshuvas about it, and others disagreed with him. Can you distinguish, and if so, in which direction? Just like on the Aliyah question, Bizman Azeh, when there's no Kedusha Sa'aretz Daraisa, let's say, would it matter, you know, in terms of the question of Aniye, I'm sorry, in terms of Malin Be'eretz Yisrael as opposed to Malin Be'Yerushalayim in either direction? Even in Kedusha itself, you have this question, and again, these are different issues, and each one requires its own discussion. Kedusha Sa'aretz, what impact, or what's the overlapping impact of Kedusha Sa'aretz Yisrael and Kedusha Yerushalayim? Right? Is it all Hod HaTalia? Right? Ilu, you know, Hichnisanu Le'eretz Yisrael V'lo Banu Banos Beis HaBechira Dayenu, right? Triggers a whole discussion in the Mefarshim of the Haggadah, but obviously it's really a discussion that, you know, devolves around certain sugyas and shas, you know, about the relationship between Kedushas Eretz Yisrael and Kedushas Yerushalayim. Rambam has a very famous view, as we know, in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, that Kedushas HaMikdash and Yerushalayim are one and the same with regard to this issue. It's also his view in Pirush Mishnayos, in Sukkah and Rosh Hashanah. That's a topic in its own right, the relationship between Beis HaBechira and Yerushalayim. But the Rambam's view is that Kedushas Yerushalayim B'Hamikdash, for example, is independent of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, you know, L'inim Trumos HaMaisros. Rambam's view is that Kedushas HaMikdash B'Yerushalayim is Kedushas HaShchina, and Kedushas HaShchina is Eina B'Teila, and therefore, from the very beginning, once it was invested that way, at the outset, right, it was an enduring Kedusha, no matter what would happen. Bizman Hazeh, according to the Rambam, right, there is Kedushas Yerushalayim and Kedushas HaMikdash. There are those who suggest, just on passant, Agavorcha, that, you know, the Rambam has a famous view that Sfiras HaOmer is Daraisa, Bizman Hazeh. The Bali Tosis disagree. It's fascinating that the Rambam, you know, deals with the dinim of Sfiras HaOmer and Hufus Tminim Umusafim. So you would have thought that, you know, again, the Shulchan Aruch, you know, deals with it. Well, there is no Tmidin and Masaf in the Shulchan Aruch, but Shulchan Aruch deals with it in the context of the Mo'adim. But that's an interesting, different perspective. So you would have thought that the Rambam, who, you know, deals with this topic in Hilchos Tmidin and Masafim, would be the one who would think that Sfiras HaOmer Bizman Hazeh would be Drabanan, because it's connected to the Karbanos, and we don't bring Karbanos Bizman Hazeh. So, you know, maybe that connection isn't as tight as we thought, maybe to the Kedushas HaMikdash and to the Hakrava. But they say in the name of Reb Chaim that maybe the Rambam is Lashitasa, since he holds that Kedushas Yerushalayim and Kedushas HaMikdash is Doraisa Bizman Hazeh. So even though Befoal there's no Hakravas HaKarbanos for other reasons, but there is Kedushas HaMikdash and Kedushas Yerushalayim. That's an interesting thought. Anyways, the point I'm trying to make is that the Rambam's view is that Kedusha Sa'aretz, right, initially was generated, of course, by the Yotze Mitzrayim, the Ba'e Ha'aretz, right, the Yehoshua, and that, of course, reached its pitch, you know, with the Kibush, you know, of David, and Kedusha Rishona Kidshel Shaita. But the Rambam's view is that Lo Kidshel Yasid Lavo, you know, once the Korban took place, that initial Kedusha was ended, was terminated. The Rambam happens to believe that some years later, when Ezra, you know, was led the resettlement of Eretz Yisrael, not Kibush, but Chazaka or Yeshiva, that that generated an enduring Kedusha, that Kedusha Shnia, Kidshel Shaita, the Kidshel Yasid Lavo. That's an interesting topic in its own right. But the point is that according to the Rambam, Kedushas HaMikdash v'Yerushalayim was never batel once it started, but Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is and was. So the Raibid, in Ilchos Beis HaBechira, is very unhappy about that. He says, if anything, one would think that Kedushas Eretz Yisrael would be more enduring than Kedushas Yerushalayim and the Mikdash. And if you look at the Bali Tosis all over the place, Tosis in Tmura, and in Yevamos, there's this interesting discussion. Can you really have Kedushas Yerushalayim without having Kedushas Eretz Yisrael? Right? And or vice versa. The language of the Rambam, you know, is very, very telling in the space of Bechira. But once again, it's one of these kind of an issues. Do we look at Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, Mikdash? Do we look at them in a single kind of line, you know, in just quantitative intensity and so on? Or are there different, albeit, you know, overlapping, interconnected for sure, but different nuances, different motifs? And if so, what are they? The Mishnah says in Masechet Kelim, that is well known, that Eser Kedusha Osem, that there are 10 levels of Kedusha. This is Perek Aleph, Mishnah, starting from Mishnah above. Eser Kedusha Osem, Eretz Yisrael Mekudeshes Mikol Ha'aretzos, Umayi Kedusha Osa, Shemevin Mimenu Ha'omer. There's the Mishnah says Ha'omer Bikurim Mishtei Alechem, the Gerach Tokar Bikurim, Mash Ein Mevin Kei Mikol Ha'aretzos. The status of Bikurim is an interesting question. But that's the first. According to the Rambam, actually, both in Pirush Mishnayos and in Yad HaChazaka, this is not really the first of the ten. This is the framework of the ten. Most Rishonim have it that there are 10 levels of Kedusha, and the tenth, the outer outlying one in the concentric circles, is Eretz Yisrael. The way the Rambam formulates it, some of the Farshim and the Mishnayos already point this out, it's not really true. It's the Eser Kedushos within Eretz Yisrael. So that's already an interesting difference. Maybe the Rambam Lishitaso, that Eretz Yisrael Lechud, and some of these other Kedushas Lechud, but either way, then the Mishnah goes on, Mishnayos go on, Ayaris HaMukafas Chom Mekudeshes Mimenu, Shem Mishalchem Mitochem Mitzorayim, right, this week, Parsha, Savon Letocho Mesa Chirotzo, and so on, Lifanim Minachoma, that's already Yerushalayim, Mekudesh Mehem, Sheochem Sham Kachem Kalim Umayser Sheni, Harabais Mekudesh Mimenu, and then of course you have the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Ulam, the Mitzbeach, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and so on. Again, it's very interesting that Eretz Yisrael has a unique status, according to the Rambam, that it is outside, as I say, it's the framework for, but outside of the ten. It's also interesting that the Yerushalayim, unlike the others, is defined by the positive opportunities that it provides. Lifnim minachoma mekudash sha'okrim sham kachim kalim amayser sheni, as opposed to all the others, practically, aside from Eretz Yisrael, which are about the limitations, or what's off-limit in terms of sanctity. That also may be significant. But the question, once again, is how do we look at these ten, and especially, the major three, Eretz Yisrael. I've already noted that there might be differences here. Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, and all the, you know, extended area of the Mikdash. So there are ten Kedushos in descending order and intensity, and that's what it is. Or is it possible that there's more to it? Seemingly, based on the Gemara in Brachos, and based on these discussions about Tzedakah and Malin, Eretz Yisrael, even the formulations in the Mishnah and Kalin, it would seem that there is more to it, and that in addition, of course, that there also being levels of Kedusha here, that there are really different perspectives and machayt. So if that's the case, what are they? So I'll just tell you my general theory, and then I want to zero in the few minutes that we have on the Eretz Yisrael part, since today is Yom HaAtzmaut. I think that the different kedushos, to some extent, not fully, because in some sense they are also in a hierarchy that is linear or that is quantitative. In the halacha, both of these things are, can be and are true. But I think what's unique about each one is as follows. The Beis HaMikdash is a place that represents, you know, the pinnacle in terms of the capacity of individuals, in some cases the community, but also individuals, right, to achieve, you know, a certain a level of Avodas Hashem, or level of being Lifnei Hashem. And of course, the best example of that is the Kohen Gadol, right, on Yom Kippur, also Parshas HaShavua, right? Bezos Yavo Aaron El HaKodesh. That's how the Parsha begins. The whole Avoda of Yom Kippurim is about being Nichnas Lifnai V'Lifnim in the most Kadosh, you know, place. And the Bezos is the prescription and the protocol, you know, both what the Medrash thinks the word Zos means, but especially the protocol of the process of Avodas Yom Kippurim. And in general, while the Kohen Gadol, of course, represents Klal Yisrael, but his personal status is a very much a part of that issue. And in general, you know, Aliyah L'Regel, the bringing of individual Karbanos alongside Karbanos HaTzibor represent something that is open to every member of Klal Yisrael. Indeed, Kayv Adam L'Taris Atzmo B'Regel, right? And the Rambam Nuchas Tumas Ochlim says, Sheyu nechonim, right, likanes, you should be worthy, right, of entering, you know, into the Azara and of eating karbanos. That is addressed to every individual member. It's an individual obligation of Klal Yisrael. There are, of course, karbanos tzibur that take place, and it's a fine line in all of these things, as we'll see. But the idea of being ru'uyim, in my opinion, that is not limited to the Zman and Mikdash when there are karbanos and an azara, but it has implications for the status of a Oved Hashem and a Moed, that he should be Roy Lekah. That's a larger topic. But the point is that whether it's the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, or Aliyah L'Regel, and the Chiyuv of Shalmei Simcha, or the capacity of individuals to address their own situations in terms of karbanos, chatos, hashamos, olos, each according to its own also, you know, special agenda, and each one is different. Shlamim. The Mikdash is basically a place which is about attaining a certain high level of Avodas Hashem that can be attained nowhere else, and it's something which has to be connected to each and every individual. Not each and every individual can be Nichnas L'Kodesh HaKadashim, but at least the Mikdash as a place is something that belongs to every single Jew. It belongs to Kol Yisrael. Yerushalayim, the next concentric circle, again, I have to demonstrate these more fully, but I want to get to the Eretz Yisrael part, so I'll just give you what I think is the broader picture. Yerushalayim, we paskin, Yerushalayim lo neschalka l'shvatim. And I think there's a lot of evidence that Yerushalayim, the Ir Shechubra l'yachdav, represents Klal Yisrael as a corporate entity. Now, again, you also want, it's also an experience for individuals, just as there's a corporate element to the Mikdash, and of course, Eretz Yisrael, there's an individual element to Yerushalayim, coming to Yerushalayim, an Aliyah L'Regel, being in such a place, is an individual experience too. But the idea of Yerushalayim as a makom, and Ma'aser Sheni, and Kodshim Kalim, which is every member of Klal Yisrael has that aspect of Kedusha and Kodshim by virtue of the fact that he is part of the corporate Klal Yisrael. Yisrael lo neschalka, Yerushalayim lo neschalka l'shvatim establishes that there is no individual ownership in Yerushalayim. There are no individuals in Yerushalayim, or any individual in Yerushalayim status is by virtue of the fact that he is part of the corporate entity of Klal Yisrael. There's a very fascinating, I've spoken about this in the past, very fascinating Tosas in Bava Kama, Just very briefly, on Daf Pei Beis, Tosfos discusses the question, Sugya there of Yerushalayim lo neschalka l'shvatim. And Tosfos says that, it's not metame b'negoyim, because it says achuz aschem, and Yerushalayim lo neschalka l'shvatim. So Tosfos asks the following question. How do we really know, im tomar, minole delo neschalka mamish, duma savar neschalka, ela shenitnu doshna shel Yericho, tachteha kimol Rabbi Yehuda damer neschalka, umetame, ubeit samikdash atzma imetame, apagav din schalek, el mishum shenitnu doshna shel Yericho, tachtav. Tosfos asks the following question. We have a mandamar who says that Beis HaMikdash was not Neskalka, and yet what they did was they, exchanged a piece of, land, it was land for peace, or a piece of land, right, for the Mikdash. So the Mikdash would be owned by all of Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara wants to know, Tosfos wants to know, how do you know that really Yerushalayim wrote Neskalka l'shvatim? Maybe Yerushalayim was in Neskalka l'shvatim, but they kind of bought it out and they exchanged it, whoever got it, Yehuda, Binyamin, that they exchanged it, just like there's a mandamar in the Gemara that says the same thing about Beis HaMikdash. The Tosfos says a remarkable thing. The Shlomar, the Beis HaMikdash Svarahu, Afagav din Ischalku, the Chodzer Vekonu Oso, Kedeshe, Lekol Yisrael, Chelekbo. Avul Yushalayim, Imitchila Nischalka, Lama Yu Chodzer Vekonin Oso. Very remarkable Tosfos. Tos says, in the Mikdash, there would be a good reason why, even if you held that originally it belonged to a particular Shevet, there would be a good reason to swap it, right, for public, collectively owned land, so that every member of Klal Yisrael would have a chelek in the Mikdash. But when it comes to Yerushalayim, if it was lo nischa, if it was Nischalka l'shvatim, what would be the point of buying it for Klal Yisrael? So the Achronim are troubled by this. Rav Belville has a piece on this in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, in the end of Hilchos Beis HaBechira. After he talks about the Rambams, he has a piece. He says, it's just Tamua. What is Tosfos saying? I mean, why is the Beis HaMikdash, something that every member of Klal Yisrael should have a piece of, and not Yerushalayim? Like, what's the point of that? Mimanoshach. Either you think that everything depends on the moment of Kibush and Chalukah and so on, and it had to be indivisible to begin with, or you think it's about public ownership, right, in which case it can be accomplished after the fact. What's the qualitative, basically what he's asking, what's the qualitative difference between Yerushalayim and the Mikdash? The Belbel himself goes on to explain that he thinks that there are two different dinim, that Beis HaMikdash is about bailus mamonit, that Yerushalayim is more of a makom, and the makom has to be something which Meirosh had this status. I'm not sure if that's what he means, or I'm saying something totally different. But the way I understand Tosfos, and definitely inspired by Rav Belville, although I don't know if this, I think it can be worked in, but I'm a little bit hesitant, that might be presumptuous of me, but that's another topic. My take on it is that what Tosfos is saying is, when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, every member of Klal Yisrael being a shuttah in the Beis HaMikdash is an important thing, because that's the nature of Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash. But when it comes to Yerushalayim, it's not about every individual Jew being a shutaf in Yerushalayim. It's about the collectivity of Klal Yisrael being the corporate owner of Yerushalayim. And that is something which you can't buy your way into through Mamonis. Moreover, it's not something that can ever happen at stage two. It's something which either was or was not part of the initial structure of the nature of Yerushalayim. So the only way for Yerushalayim to have the characteristics that it does is to conclude that Yerushalayim lo neschalka l'shvatim. What about Eretz Yisrael? How does that fit in this mix? And that's what our few minutes that we have left is about. So there's a lot of evidence that Eretz Yisrael, too, is about, the relationship of every individual, to the country, the corporate Klal Yisrael. And I'd say there's certainly overlap in all of these dinim, meaning in addition to the unique facets or features of Kedushas Yerushalayim, Kedushas HaMikdash, Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, there's no question that there are elements of all three in all three, and that there's also a hierarchy. No one is denying that. But if we're trying to figure out what is the unique feature, what is it about Eretz Yisrael? I think that the answer might be that Eretz Yisrael's, you know, tzibur component, not like the Mikdash, every individual, you know, is a full partner, you know, in all. And it's not like Yerushalayim, which is about corporate ownership. Klal Yisrael is an entity, the Ir Shechubra LaYachdav, Yerushalayim Lo Nizkal Kamashvat. Eretz Yisrael is about the totality of Klal Yisrael, right, being the total owners of the entire of Eretz Yisrael. And part of what that includes, that's a different model of Shutfus, basically. Part of what that includes is a recognition of the distinctive locations that represent the distinctive characteristics and interactions of Am Yisrael. In other words, what I'm suggesting is that Kibush and Chalukah, that Chalukah wasn't just merely a methodology of, you know, how you're going to have a big nation living in this land, you know. So it's good to organize, you know, get a good administrator, he has a plan, he has a blueprint, so everybody isn't stepping all over each other, and therefore, you know, give this part to them and that part to the other Shevet, and keep them separate because there's, you know, either, you know, friction to be avoided, or we'll say better, benefits to allow each indigenous, you know, unique Shevet's culture to develop and then to contribute to the whole. What I'm suggesting is that isn't just a pragmatic plan, but that the Chalukah is part of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. The recognition that there are different shvatim in different places and that their interaction is part of the story of the totality. I'm not suggesting that Eretz Yisrael is the place of the shvatim. What I'm saying is that it's the place of all of the totality of all of Am Yisrael, which recognizes, which doesn't dilute it and doesn't incorporate it and doesn't make each individual the equal owner of every other individual, but that the totality of Am Yisrael, including its distinctive features, right, constitutes the collective owners, or we're going to take away the collectors. The total Klal Yisrael, with its distinctiveness, are the owners or the bailim of Eretz Yisrael. I'd like to highlight that, not only through the din of Chalukah, but in the Rambam Shita, I think, very specifically, on one issue that I'm going to spend a few minutes on. And this, of course, is a very different model than the other two, but the overlap makes it all very important and very significant. The Pasuk in Parshas Bahar, I have it right here. Torah tells us, after speaking about Shemitah and Yovel, very interesting, that the haaretz lo timaker litzmisus ki li haaretz ki geirim v'toshavim atem imadi u'bechol eretz achuzaschem ve'ula titnu la'aretz. The Torah's emphasis on Yovel's capacity to return each individual owner or shevet to its initial property, right, almost to secure the original chalukah, is a fascinating halacha which needs to be understood. Again, is it a more limited thing? Is it about particular economic or identification of individuals or shvatim? Or is this something about Kedushas Haaretz, something very basic in Kedushas Haaretz? It's interesting, the psukim speak in the nifal, but also as a fact. The Haaretz lo timaker, right, litzmisus. And then this powerful, powerful three words that follow that are the source for so many things. Ki li haaretz, ki geirim v'toshavim atem imadi, u'bakol eretz achuzaschem, geula titnu laaretz. What does it mean, haaretz lo timacher litzmisus, written in the passive or in the factual? Is that an iser? Is it a fact? Is it an iser that devolves on the mocher, on the lokeach, on both? Is it chal? And Asur, is there Malkus? There's a lot of mystery, intrigue, confusion surrounding this vague pasuk and its interesting formulation. We don't have time to examine it completely, but I do want to zero in on a couple of shittos, and especially on shittos around. Rashi Alatar, oh, before we get to Rashi, the Bahag counts this not as a mitzvah, as a lav, but as a, the Bahag sometimes counts facts. It's a statement. It's a reality. The Ha'aretz lo timachar litzmisus means you cannot sell the land in a way which defies the goal of Yovel, right, to, you know, to be chozer to the initial apportionment. You can't do that. That's counted among Tayyad. The Rambam generally didn't like the counting of facts. What time do I have till? What?
12.
Oh, I have till 12. Okay, good. The Rambam did not like the fact that you count facts, and he doesn't typically count facts. He is against it in principle. But even the Bahag who does presumably agrees with the Rambam that we don't count all facts, right? We count facts, presumably, that represent some ikaron, some yesod, some important principle. So the Bahag's v'ha'aretz lo timacher litzmisus ki li ha'aretz, right, may not help us for what we're interested in right now, but it certainly establishes that this is an important yesod. It's a mitzvah. The Ramban, as we'll see in a moment, in Sefer HaMitzvos, is tempted to agree with the Bahag. He has very great difficulty trying to explain what this pasuk v'ha'aretz lo timacher litzmisus is really kala aretz, is really all about, and he's tempted to agree with the Bahag that it's a statement of fact rather than an iser. In the end, he's chozer from that. Rashi said it refers to the lokeach. Pa'arts lo timacher, litain lav al chazaras sados levailim, biyovel, shelo yehe halokeach, kovsha. So Rashi says it refers to the lokeach, and it's referring to a very specific situation. Somebody bought a field, it's now yovel time, he's giving you a hard time because he wants to keep the field, he doesn't want to, understandably, economically, he doesn't want to return it, and he's being told, right, you have to give in to the Din Torah. The Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Reish Kav Zayin, in his Asagos on the Ramban, takes strong issue with this. Rashi, Ramban here, Ala Torah, very similarly, Ramban says, well, the Pashtos, the Ha'aretz lo timacher litzmisus, is a reference to the Mocher, and not to the Lokeach. Misvara, the Lokeach part makes a lot of sense. He's the obstructionist, he's the one who has an interest, right, in obstructing Yovel, and we're being told that you're not allowed to do that. You have to comply, you have to give in. But the pasuk itself, v'ha'aretz lo timacher litzmisus, sounds an awful lot like it's at minimum referring to the mocher, or as we'll see in the Rambam, to the mocher and the lokeach. Unless, says the Ramban, you read the psukim in such a way, v'ha'aretz lo timacher litzmisus, means you take like the factual part of the Bahag, meaning it's not going to happen, and it's being addressed kind of to the lokeach. You're telling the lokeach, you know, your efforts to remain on this land improperly after Yovel, right, those are not going to happen. Those are not going to succeed. Okay. The Smag, in the Minyan HaMitzvos, likes Rashi, and quotes this as well. The Ramban himself, let's get that out of the way, because I want to focus a few more minutes on the Rambam. The Ramban himself, both in his Perush Al HaTorah, and in Sefer HaMitzvos, suggests that the Iser is only on the Mocher. But this has nothing to do with a regular Mechira. It has to do with Mechira, the kind of Mechira which intrinsically defies the power of Yovel to be Machs of the Karka, and leaves the Karka in the hands of people whose presence is unacceptable. Meaning, according to the Ramban, this Pasuk is a reference to selling the karka to non-Jews, right? If you sell it to them in a way, right? If you sell it to them in a way that should go past or beyond or mukhlat, which doesn't allow for yovel. If you sell a non-Jew the land and he agrees, right, that it will return to yovel, or maybe even after yovel, but for the next yovel, that isn't a problem here. However, ha'aretz lo timachel, if you sell the land in a tzmitut kind of a way, namely to somebody who doesn't have the obligation of Yovel, right? That is a prohibition. But the prohibition, according to the Ramban, is not because of the intrinsic violation of tzmisus. It's because of the actual recipient of the karka, akum. After all, that's the next line in the pasuk. Ki li ha'aretz, ki geirim v'toshavim, atem imadi. Again, I would read it inside, but it'll take too long, both the Alat Torah and the Sefer HaMitzvos. Meaning the idea is, and the Ramban fascinatingly compares it to a Jew who's going to be a slave to a non-Jew. There's no kinyan aguf, says Ramban. And the same is true. An akum, a nochri, cannot have a kinyan aguf in Eretz Yisrael, because the whole point of Eretz Yisrael is ki li ha'aretz, ki geirim v'toshavim atem imadei. It's supposed to be a Jewish, it's supposed to be a Jewish state. He links it to the Yerushalmi's discussion. He says, ein kinyan akum lahafkia mikdushas ha'aretz or mikdushas meiser, because a non-Jew cannot have that kind of, that level of bailus in Eretz Yisrael. It very much is reminiscent of and consistent with the Ramban's larger view about the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz, as we know, and also in his Perush al Torah, and again in the Hashmatos to the Mitzvah Saseh in Sefer Mitzvos, the Ramban takes the view that there is an obligation of Yishuv Haaretz among the Rishonim. It's unique, and it has nothing to do with Mitzvah Satluyas Haaretz, and it has to do with Jewish settlement, Jewish presence, right, in Eretz Yisrael. So it's not so surprising that his read of Haaretz Lotim Achelet Smitzos, Ki Li Haaretz Ki Gerim and Toshavim Atemimadi, is the flip side of that. Don't sell the land to a non-Jew who's going to remain there. That's a violation of not just the purpose of Yovel, but the purpose of Yishuv Haaretz. The Rambam Shita, however, is the most ambitious. The Rambam holds, both in Sefer Mitzos and in Mishnah Torah, that in fact, this is an Iser, and that it devolves upon both Mocher and Lokeach. Now, the Mocher is the victim. So why does he have a problem, unlike Rashi and Smag, right? Why does he have a problem when it comes to this issue? Yet, the Rambam, both in Yad HaChazaka and in Sefer HaMitzvos, makes it perfectly clear, right? Eretz Yisrael, and I think the opening salvo, the words, are very important. I'm going to get back to them. Eretz Yisrael mitzchalekes l'shvatim, eina nimkeres l'tzmisus. Shenemar, va'aretz lo timachel l'tzmisus. V'imachal l'tzmisus, shnehem ovrim below sasei, the lokeach and the mocher. V'ein maseim mo'ilim, ela tatzra asada l'balei b'yovel, and it doesn't work. So, the Ramban is horrified. Number one, says the Ramban, like, where, what, the person makes a deal, he sells land with another person, he has to make an announcement up until Yovel. Right? And why can't the Mocher try to concede? The Ramban quotes a phantom Rambam. The Rambam Shita is based on the Gemara in Makos of Gimel Amud Beis. I have till 12. The Rambam Paskas Nichol Shmita that if a person agrees, Malvin Alov agree, Al Menach Shelo Tishmiteni Shvius, Ein Shvius V'Sham Tasa. When it comes to Shmita's Ksafim, if you make a Tznai, it's called Tznai Dabr Shabbat Mammon. Shabbat Mammon is effective. So if you want to, if the Malva he wants to concede, I'm sorry, if the Lova wants to concede the din of Shemitah's Ksafim, that is going to be effective. The Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos, Reish Chav Zayin, says, and the Rambam wrote in Yad HaChazaka that the same is true with regard to Yovel, that if the Mocher agrees and he makes a Tanai, Amanah She'en Yovel, right, Machzi Rosso, that would be good. The Megillah Sestar already points out there's no such Rambam. Where the Ramban got this Rambam from is questionable. But the Ramban says, I'm scandalized. The Rambam thinks that there's an Isra on the Mocher, and he also thinks that a Tanai Dover Shiva Mammon would help you? Since there is no such Rambam in Yad HaChazaka, it's not so terrible. But we have to understand maybe even according, if the Ramban got this from somewhere, what would be the distinction? More important, the Ramban projects onto the Rambam. He says, I don't understand. It's an Isra on the Lokeach and the Mocher, and it's also not Chal? How could it be an Isra if it's not Chal? Says the Ramban, oh, is this a reflection of the famous debate in Tmura between Abai and Rabba, right? Koma Adam Rachman Lo Savid Yavid Mahani. Right? Abai says that Koma Adam Rachman Lo Savid, right? Yavid, right? It's Mahani. Torah says don't do something and you do it, and they give you Malkus for it. It's because it's effective, right? If it wasn't effective, there wouldn't be Malkus, or they wouldn't tell you not to do it, or at least there wouldn't be Malkus. So Abaya says, obviously, it works, and that's why you get Malkus. And Rava says, no, lo mahani. So why do you get Malkus? De avar ahurmana de malka. You get Malkus, or you get the Avera, we'll say, by violating Din Torah. Says the Ramban, obviously what the Rambam thinks here is that ha'aretz lo timachar litzmisus is an example of Kom Adam Rachmana Lo Sabadi Avid, right? Lo Mahani. And it belongs to that sugi. He says, but that's Tamua, because the Gemara in Tamura talks about numerous cases. They go back and forth in this debate between Abai and Rabbah, and never will you find any discussion of Lo Timacher Litzmisos. Where is it? The Sefer HaChinuch, picking up on the Ramban, when he quotes the Rambam, actually says, in the Radvaz later, but Chinuch even earlier, he says, yeah, the Rambam Shita of Loti Macher Letzmisus is based on his view, like Rabba, that Koma Dom Rachmano Lo Savid, the Ovid Lo Mahani, right? And then the Chinuch adds, and therefore you get Malkus according to the Rambam, right? Because you were Avar Ahurmana de Malka. Okay, wow. Even though it's not in the Sugya and the Leib Sameach and the Megillas Esther, the Mefarshim on the Sefer Mitzvahs try to answer, like, why isn't it in Tmura? Fine. The problem is, the Rambam never said that you get Malkus. The Mishnah Melech already in Perek Yud Aleph, Hilchos Shemitah, says, the Rambam never says it. In Perek Yud Tes, Hilchos Sanhedrin, where the Rambam lists all the Malkus, there's no Malkus for Lo Timachar Litzmisos. And there are other indications that the Rambam actually paskins, like a Mishnah points us out in Hilchos Bechoros, Parakei, that Rambam actually paskins maybe like Abaya. At least it's very controversial to try to figure out, does the Rambam hold like Abaya, the Ovid Mahani, or the Ovid Lo Mahani? Either way, the Mishnah Melech says the Chinuch is wrong, and it's not true that the Rambam thinks that there's Malkus. What motivated the Chinuch? The Rambam doesn't say it, because the Chinuch bought into the Ramban's idea that according to the Rambam, this is just the Rambam paskining like Rabba. So while it's questioned why it's omitted from the Sugya in Tmura, how come we don't mention it? But if it's really Rabba, Rabba really does hold that lo mahani, and you violate Ahur Minah D'Malka. But since the Rambam in numerous other places doesn't seem to paskin like Rabba, and certainly doesn't think that there's Malkus, so it's Tamua. On the contrary, if the Rambam really holds that there's no Malkus, then it's obviously not Rava. If he normally holds like Abaya, then why does he even think that it's Lo Mahani in this particular case? He should have held like Abaya. He should either say that the Mechira is Chal, and that it trumps Yovel, and that's the Iser, right? Or that it's not Chal, and if it's not Chal, there's certainly no Malkus, but there shouldn't even be an Iser. So the problem is, the Rambam fits in neither with Abaya nor with Rabba. What's going on? Well, so I think that the answer is very simple, and the Minchas Chinuch says part of it. Minchas Chinuch says, I don't think the Rambam holds like Rabba. I think that the Rambam holds that there's a special din here, Kili Haaretz, the continuation of the Pasuk, which says, you are not a Bailim to sell Eretz Yisrael. After all, not Minchas Chinuch anymore, just take a step back. The Ramban himself in Makos of Gimel Amud Beis says, how come Amanas Lahach Shev, you know, Yovel Lo Tachsir doesn't work? But Shemitah's Ksafim, it does work. So he says, oh, whenever the mocher, whenever the victim, right, is part of the Iser, like a loven ribbis. A loven is not allowed to take, not allowed to give ribbis. He can't be mochel. He can't be masna. So according to the Rambam, if a mocher is part of the Iser of loti mocher, litzmisus, right, he can't be masna either, says Ramban. That's what he thinks for the Rambam, because he thinks the Rambam has a phantom halacha, but that's what he explains. The Nebuchadnezzar Yosef goes a step further. Nebuchadnezzar Yosef says, it's not, maybe it's overlapping. It's not that the mocher doesn't mochel. The problem is, it's not in the bailus of the mocher. It's not that he's osur limchol. He doesn't have bailus to be masna. Ki li haaretz. The Rabbeinu Shalom owns the land. Oh. So here's where the Minchas Chinuch jumps in. Minchas Chinuch says, well, if that's true, then maybe even if there was no iser of haaretz otimach alitzmisus, you wouldn't be able to be masna. Because like I can't be masna somebody else's bailus. But that doesn't seem to be correct in the Rambam either. So what I'd like to say is as follows. Along the lines of the Minchas Chinuch, but with an added twist. And that is, the way the Rambam begins here is, Eretz Yisrael amischalekes l'shvatim eina nimkeres l'tzmisos. Shenemar v'aretz l'timacha l'tzmisos. The Yisod, now of course it's true that, you know, that Eretz Yisrael she'ena mischalekes is not subject to the din of return and yovel. That's factually correct. It's not something that anybody else emphasizes in this context because it's so obvious. That's the first words of the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka. What the Rambam is really trying to tell us is that the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, ki li ha'aretz, is precisely based on chalukas ha'aretz l'shvatim. And that the din of Yovel isn't just a din of Yovel or an opportunity to restart. It's not like Shemitah's Ksafim. Shemitah's Ksafim applies bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz, according to almost all Rishonim. Shemitah's Ksafim is not a din in Kedushas Shvias. It's a start over, it's an act of tzedakah. Certainly not a din in Kedushas Ha'aretz. It's not a din in the bailus of the Rabbeinu Shalom necessarily. But the din of Chazara b'Yovel, Kili Ha'aretz, also highlights what's unique about Kedushas Eretz Yisrael as a Kedusha. And that is that it belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. All of Eretz Yisrael belongs to the totality of Klal Yisrael. The totality of Klal Yisrael in its diverse, distinctive configurations of different Shvatim. And to play around with that is really to undermine Kedushas Eretz. Ki li Eretz. Like the Minchas Chinuch says, it's not a baya, it's not rabba, it's nothing to do with tmura. It's even a baya will agree, and it isn't exactly rabba either, that when it comes to taking an action that fundamentally contravenes the nature of Kedushas Haaretz, that isn't something which triggers malchus, it isn't rabba. But that's something which is lo mahani, but which devolves upon both lokeach and mocher. Because the mocher, just as much as the lokeach, is denying or downplaying or minimizing a critical component of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. The component which recognizes that Eretz Yisrael belongs to all of Am Yisrael, that's the special yichud of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, but at the same time, it's based on the Chalukah Sashvatim, not only the Kibush, but the Chalukah as well. And therefore, that's the first words of the Rambam. Eretz Yisrael mischalekes l'shvatim eina nimkeres l'tzmisus. Ki li ha'ar. If there wasn't an Iser, then maybe it would be Chal. The Iser is what tells us that we have to preserve, it tells us that Chalukah Sa'aretz is part of the Mekadesh of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, to defy it is something which we don't have bailus for. That's why the mocher is included. But it's not just a lack of bailus. It's essentially a denial of the nature of Kedushas Ha'aretz. So let me just conclude. Yom HaAtzmaut is really a very special day. We always have trouble figuring out in Chutz La'aretz exactly how to celebrate it. Talmud Torah revisiting the themes of Kedusha is the right way, for sure, in addition to other things. Saying Hallel is the right way. But particularly when we reflect upon, you know, the impact of Medinat Yisrael's founding on our lives and the kibbutz galios, you know, that followed, the idea of all of Eretz Yisrael owned by all of Am Yisrael, and that we don't have Chalukah L'Shvatim anymore, sadly. That's something we have to wait for in the future. But the idea that all the, you know, unique elements in Klal Yisrael, instead of being diluted or homogenized, it's not the corporate part, and it's not the individual, each individual equal to every other individual having a part. It's not the Mikdash, and it's not the Yerushalayim. It's the melting pot, but not that serves the lowest common denominator, but that plays up the diversity of what makes Klal Yisrael Klal Yisrael. And Medinas Yisrael founding, in addition to all the other tremendous impact it's had spiritually and so on, has accentuated Kedushas Eretz Yisrael in that way in truly a magnificent manner. Whether it's, you know, Edot HaMizrach and Edot Ashkenaz, or, you know, all of the different, you know, integrations that take place. Sometimes we get a little upset. I get a little upset, you know, at the idea of Nusach Achid, because I think that that is really a dilution or a least common denominator idea. But the idea that, you know, within Eretz Yisrael you could have so much diversity, but an appreciation of what that enriches and that is based on the national headquarters of the Jewish people, that the entire Eretz Yisrael is owned by all of Am Yisrael, and that that diversity contributes to that richness, is something which all of us experience every time we engage with Eretz Yisrael. So I want to wish you a Yom Ha'atzma'ut Sameach, and we should appreciate the diversity and the overlap of the different Kedushos among them.
That's also the Ramban about how when we're in Galus, the most massive in Eretz Yisrael.
Say again?
The Ramban about how when we're in Galus, the most massive in Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, but
the
Ramban is really
right.